Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in La Crosse. Thanks for joining us for our conversation today. We've got some representatives from the University of Wisconsin La Crosse Department of Theater and Dance, and we're talking about the show The Wolves, which is coming up. We'll give you the dates and where you can find tickets and all of that. But joining me today are two guests. First of all, Mary Trotter is a theater professor at UWL, brand new to campus this year. And so this is, of course, her first time on Newsmakers. Mary, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thrilled to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mary is the director of the play that we're going to talk about today. And one of the cast members is here as well. Anna Montgomery is a junior musical theater major at UWL, and she plays number 11 in The Wolves. And we'll explain why she's named number 11. It'll become apparent as our conversation goes on. Anna, welcome to Newsmakers. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So I called you number 11. So tell us a little bit about The Wolves, what it's all about, and why your character is number 11.
Yeah, so The Wolves pretty much follows the story of a high school girls soccer team. And none of us are referred to by name. We are all just our team numbers. It's just a very simple story following the friendships and maybe the hardships that they face. And it's a very, very heartwarming show.
Oh, good. Good, good. Mary, what draws you to a show like this as a director?
Well, this was kind of interesting because, as you said, it's my first semester here.
Yeah, so you didn't play a role in choosing this season, did you?
No, I had no role in deciding what show I would direct. But as it turns out, this play was actually on my list of shows I wanted to direct.
Oh, really? Well, that worked out well.
It did. So one of the things that I like about it, I like that Anna just said it was a simple story. In some ways it is, but it's very active. The cast is, like Anna said, it is a soccer team, and we see them over the course of 6 weeks, so six Saturdays, and we basically see them getting ready for the game. So we see them warming up, doing passing drills, and then tackling. All the things that Anna kind of talked about. There's some search for identity. They're also talking about politics, genocides, womanhood. There's a lot of things going on with them, and it's all really, I think, quite brilliantly interwoven, the dialogue and then the action. So for me as a director, there's just a ton of things to play with. Which I think is what draws me to it.
Now, obviously, the cast are college students because you're a college theater department. Mm-hmm. But this was in my reading about this story, I learned that it's a sort of coming of age story about a women's soccer team. How old are the characters meant to be who are being portrayed? Are they the same age? Are they college age?
They're 16 and 17.
16, 17. Okay.
So they're in their junior. Most of them are in their junior year, which, as we discovered in our research and whatnot, is really like the prime recruiting time to go to college. So it's also a pretty high stakes time for them, as that they're all sort of, they're the soccer diehards. They're playing indoor, and not everybody plays indoor. So they're kind of the ones that are really serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anna, getting ready for this play, in addition to the drama, which we certainly can talk about, required some collaboration on the athletic side. Tell me about your work as an actor with the soccer program at UWL.
So we, before rehearsal even started, for a few weeks leading up, we actually met with the girls' soccer team and the coach to kind of get our bearings on, like, the basics of soccer. So we would go at the field and do their warm-ups and kind of choreograph, that's the word I use, choreograph drills to kind of like get an idea and get familiar with soccer, because a lot of us hadn't played either in a long time or at all.
You hadn't played at all, right?
No, yeah. I hadn't.
Well, so you were you an athlete at all in high school or just not a soccer player?
I mean, I danced and I did theater all throughout high school, so I suppose that was kind of my sport,
sure,
per se.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. So how you refer to it as choreographing. how much time was spent, like, now we're going to do this exact thing over and over again versus, like, intuiting kind of how soccer works?
I don't know. It kind of is like a mix, because obviously there was a learning curve, like learning what to do when and like where to go. But like after a while, it just kind of became natural. And we kind of just went with the flow and like kind of just really learned how to master the moves. And yeah, I don't know.
It was really fun to watch. Like, I would say, like, the first they started tackling just the footwork mm-hmm. and just basic passing, and then some what would you call, like, foot play with the ball? That's really not what you would call that. But you know what I mean? Dragging the ball back and things like that. So just some footwork exercises. And then there's one scene that it says in the script, let's do the spider web drill. So we did much research, Jason, the head coach, and I too, and he's like, there's no such thing as a spider web drill. And there really isn't.
Can you just change it to a thing that actually exists?
Yeah. So, I mean, and it's funny that you refer to it as choreography, because it really is, right? These mm-hmm. drills that they have, there is a choreography to it. The soccer players don't think about it that way, but we think about it that way. There's another student in the cast that's in marching band. So a lot of the times when we would start putting numbers to something, she'd be like, oh, numbers, I can do that. You know, so we started to make these parallels. And the really great thing is that, like Anna said, we did this before the actual rehearsal process started. So they already had experience with the footwork, and then we already kind of narrowed in on which drills we were going to use so that they had already learned that. And then I sent them all home with a soccer ball and told them to practice as much as they can. And Jason Murphy, the coach, he suggested that they always have their feet on the ball as much as they can. Like, even if they're sitting at the table, just have your feet on the ball. And I just thought that was brilliant.
I was going to say, it's crazy how much improvement you get from just, even if you're not up playing soccer, just having it, like, mm-hmm. under the table, like, playing with it. Like, you get so much more familiar and comfortable. It's, like, magic, I feel.
When we had our read-through, I was like, bring your balls. We're so sitting at a table.
You find yourself, like, dribbling on the way to lunch or anything like that?
Maybe not that much, but...
So, Mary, how does that conversation go? Hey, coach.
Yeah.
Mary from the theater department. We need some help.
Yeah. Well, and also I'm new, so you know, but I'm not afraid to cold call someone or. So I sent him an email and I said, you know, here's what we're doing. Would wondered if you were interested in sort of being a consultant for us. And so we met and talked about kind of what we needed, and I'm just so thankful for his time, and he was just so gracious with the cast. I think it was a little intimidating for the cast and myself too to walk onto that that soccer field, and when, especially while the team was playing, and you know, so Jason and I kind of kept trying to make the parallel of, imagine if the soccer team came to the theater to do a monologue, you know? But I'm just so grateful Jason just jumped on board, and we just identified a certain number of practices, and luckily it all kind of lined up with when their practices were, so we kind of caught the tail end of it, and then he worked with us individually, and
So Anna, this play isn't just a play about soccer. It's about all of the members of the team and the individual things in life that they're going through and all the things that they're facing. It's also a Pulitzer Prize nominated mm-hmm. play. Mm-hmm. So from your perspective, from your character's perspective, what's like the most important issue or non-soccer thing that your character is dealing with through the course of this play?
Oh, wow. So my character, honestly, she deals with a lot. She's kind of like the brainiac of the group. And so she is very like socially aware, and she kind of grapples with that. I mean, in the first scene, she is kind of talking about a man who committed a genocide and maybe how he's not so bad, or maybe we should be like, we should pity him a little or whatever. So she kind of, I don't know, has big ideas about a lot of things. And I think she sometimes tries to play devil's advocate for a lot of issues that they face.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. What now? Another thing that I read in the program. See, this is why people should read program notes, right? I mean, they're written for a reason.
They are. Yeah.
I read in the notes that this is your first non-musical show at UWL.
Yes.
How as a musical theater major is it your not first non-musical like ever or just here
actually.
At UWL?
Really? Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yes.
So what's that like? Like setting aside the security blanket of that musical skill and just being being fully exposed as an actor.
Honestly, sometimes it's a little intimidating because I feel like I have focused so much on singing that like that's like the easy part of like, oh, I can memorize a song like that. And also it's just a smaller scale in general. Usually musicals are huge and have a lot of people, but there's 9 girls and we're all just, I don't know, it feels vulnerable almost, but it's been a really fun experience and to have that kind of different facet of my performance on display has been really fun.
So if I know multiple things go, there's a very nuanced kind of logic behind what gets nominated for these major awards and why and different things. But if you had to sum up, Mary, what makes this a Pulitzer nominated play?
I think the writing. There's as the team is warming up, just as there would be in real life, there's sometimes multiple conversations going on. And that's what was one of the really hard things, too, I think, for the actors memorization-wise. But I also think that there's 9 girls on this team, and like Anna talked about what her character deals with, but each of these girls is dealing with something different and something relevant and something huge in their lives that's going to affect their path. Some of that comes out more so than others. There's also a new girl on the team, and that we see that journey as well. But I think the other thing is it's not often that we get to see strong female characters that are not in romantic relationships. Oftentimes, like a play or a musical is about a man and a woman getting together. And not only is that not what this show is about, but there are no men in the show at all. So I think it's a little sad to say that's unique, but that is unique. So I think that's one of the reasons too. And I think the way the content is handled in that dialogue, like talking about a Cambodian genocide along with talking about starting your period, you kind of go like, are you going to talk about those things at the same time? How's that going to work? But it does. So I think that's one of the reasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the conspicuous students are the ones on stage doing the acting, but as with any kind of student program, you're not just training actors. Any number of students in the Department of Theater and Dance are going to go on to various kinds of careers in the arts as either professional performers, professionals behind the scenes, as teachers, as staff members at community theaters, and all kinds of different opportunities. What are some of the roles that students are taking on that might be less noticeable to the audience?
Yeah, I think that's one of the cool things about this production, too, is that there are a lot of student designers. So when it comes to sound design, light design, and set design, a lot of times those roles are filled by other faculty. But in this case, all 3 of those positions are students. Our stage manager and our 2 assistant stage managers are also students. That's a little bit more traditionally student role.
Yeah.
Our dramaturg, who also handles the lobby display, is also a student. So these are some pretty big roles that the students are filling, and it's just been wonderful to work with student designers, and especially so many of them at one time. And I just love to see how they all collaborate, not just with me, but with each other, too, when new ideas come to the table. And I've just been really, really thrilled about the work that they've done.
Now, this is your first play at UWL. As a director, you're a new faculty member this year, Mary. But what else are you working on this year?
Well, next semester we have a play called Orlando that's happening, and I'll be doing intimacy direction for that production.
Some people might not be familiar with that.
Yeah.
It's kind of a thing that's come to attention in recent years. Like, what is the importance of having someone in that role specifically?
Yeah, especially if there's a show where there's a lot of physical intimacy, any level of touch, really. I think a lot of times when you say... when I say I'm an intimacy director, someone says, "Oh, you tell people how to make out." Like, well, that's not really.
Well, I mean, that might be part of it.
It might be part of it, yeah. But yeah, it's just like.
Well, really, it's you're sending people into situations that even in real life could be immensely uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And in an environment where these people are not in relationship with one another, like mm-hmm. it keeps people from just going on stage and winging it in a way
yes.
that might actually damage someone else.
And that is in years past, that was. What often happened.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said, "Oh, there's a kiss here. Why don't you two go figure it out and then come back and show us what you want to do?" That also isn't really like talking about storytelling. What story is that kiss telling? I like to encourage people to think about it like a fight choreographer. I mean, we don't hand students daggers and broadswords and say, "Go figure it out."
Yeah, right.
We have a trained professional.
Call somebody if you're bleeding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a trained professional who choreographs a fight. So it's the same with intimacy. So we talk about how closing the distance and destinations and things like that. But then also our field is really moving towards a consent-based practice. And that's something that has been really important to me in my work, which kind of led me to the intimacy direction field. So I'm thrilled that that I get to do that already here as well.
That's interesting, and so that play is next semester,
correct? Mm-hmm.
And as for The Wolves, which is opening this weekend, and then there are shows next weekend as well. Where can people find tickets and more information?
The best thing to do is just go to the UWL homepage and then search theater, and then you'll get the department page, and there's links to buy tickets there. But if you're someone who likes to buy tickets in person, you can come over to the Fine Arts Building and buy tickets in the afternoons.
Yes, the box office is open Monday through Friday from 1 to 3, and then on show days it opens an hour before curtain. So either 7:30 or 1.
See, she's been here longer than me. Yeah.
Right? There you go. And the website, for anybody interested, is uwlax.edu. Or if you just go to your favorite search engine and type in UWL Theater,
mm-hmm.
yes.
No matter which way you spell theater, it'll
yes,
come up.
Yes, it will, yes.
Yeah.
There's a big yellow button that says, "Buy tickets here."
It's almost like that's what they want you to do.
Yes, please, buy tickets.
Mary Trotter is a theater professor and the director of The Wolves at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. Anna Montgomery is a junior musical theater major and plays number 11 in the aforementioned show. Thank you both very much for being on Newsmakers today.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
If you've missed part of our conversation today, you can find it and all the rest of them on our website, which is wpr.org/newsmakers. You can get in touch with us as well. Our email address is newsmakers@wpr.org. That's newsmakers@wpr.org. There are a couple of opportunities to hear the show every week. We're on Friday morning at 10 on the Ideas Network 90.3. Friday night at 7, we're on NPR News and Music 88.9, and of course, we're always online at wpr.org/newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall. Join us next week for another Newsmakers, right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.